shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the man, "Get up and go upon your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Again, a reminder, if you haven't passed the fellowship book down the row, please do so. Today's story from the Gospel of Luke is about Thanksgiving. But it's more than just Jesus saying you ought to be thankful to God. This is a story about outcasts, religious outcasts. The 10 men who approached Jesus have a skin disease. Now, you may wonder why the updated edition of the NRSV version that we are now using for Sunday morning text doesn't say the men are lepers. That's more familiar. The answer is not because the translators decided too many people don't know the word leper. The reason is that the Greek word in Luke's text was not at the time of Jesus associated with that particular disease called leprosy, medically today known as Hansen's disease. So the updated translation says men with a skin disease because that's a better translation of the word in the text. It actually referred to all kinds of skin diseases. But really, I think we need to go further. Coming up with a better, more literal translation of the Greek that Luke uses, I don't think really gets us to what Luke is saying. What would be even better than a more literal translation would probably be a translation that creates in us the feeling that is similar or parallel to the feeling that those who were traveling with Jesus would have had. So the reason that 10 men with a skin disease doesn't really get at what Jesus' disciples would have felt is because that is a medical description. Today, if 10 people with skin diseases walked into the room, we would probably say, "Can I help you find a doctor? I imagine an antibiotic would take care of that." Even if we're more self-focused, we might think, "Where did I leave the hand sanitizer? I think I'll go wash my hands." But you see, it might be worrisome to be approached by 10 people who are sick, but to us, we would be dealing with a medical issue, which is not the same thing as what it would have been like for the people traveling with Jesus. For them, this was a medical problem, but it was not only a medical problem, it was also a spiritual problem. For the people of Jesus' time and place, illnesses were spiritual issues. An illness, even more than being a medical issue, for them was a religious issue. Remember, the germ theory of disease did not even begin to develop until the mid-17th century. The people of Jesus' day had no idea about bacteria or viruses or any other microorganism. They had no idea what caused skin disease or any other disease. They had no inkling that 21 centuries later, today, we could just pop a pill in our mouths and smear on some triple antibiotic, and in a few days, most of these diseases would be well on their way to being better. No, people who were sick, people who had diseases, they believed were cursed, most likely by God. Either the person who was sick or their parents or someone else in their family, tribe, or clan had done something wrong, had done something immoral, had done something evil, and their disease was the result. Their disease was a punishment from God for unfaithfulness, which meant, of course, they were no longer welcome. No longer welcome in the community or in the synagogue, in the market, at the well. Why? Not because they understood that disease can be contagious, but rather because they thought the anger of God was contagious. The fear was, if I were to welcome you, the one who's cursed, the one whom God has rejected, if I welcome you, then God might also reject me. And so now at last, I think we're at the place where we have enough background to be ready for a translation that might actually convey the same feeling, the same experience as Jesus' travelers who were with him. On his way to Jerusalem, as he was going from Samaria to Galilee, Jesus entered a village, and 10 men approached him who were no longer welcome in their faith community because they had committed heinous crimes. Maybe they were sex workers. Maybe they were pedophiles. 10 men approached Jesus who were not welcome in their community because everyone thought they were so evil and horrible, unrepentant people, God could not possibly love them any longer. At least not until they had repented and made amends and were reformed. That translation gives a better understanding of what was happening in the community as Jesus and his fellow travelers walked in. 10 people no longer welcome in worship, no longer welcome in the market, at the well, in the community. People considered no longer worthy of God's love. Called out to Jesus, keeping their distance that was required. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have compassion on us. Help us get back into God's grace. Help us find God's love. And Jesus said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. God, will welcome you back. Full stop. Friends in Christ, this is the good news. You see, this story's not about skin diseases. It's about people who believe they are excluded from God's grace. And this is the good news which Jesus proclaims to us all. God does not exclude anyone from God's love. No matter how broken, no matter how horrible the journey, even the worst of the worst are not ineligible for God's love. Even the lowest are not ineligible for God's healing. Even the most reviled are not ineligible for the transformation, the hope, the peace, the reassurance of God's love revealed in Jesus. No one. That's good news for all of us. This is what we have to be thankful for, that God's grace, God's love is for us. It's for me, for you and you, for all of you. We are welcome to God. That's the good news. You know what else we have to be thankful for? That we've been led to this place. Theologically, to this place in our journeys. And literally, to this place. This gathering of disciples at St. John's, Beaufort, South Carolina. Because not everyone in every church experiences this same grace. Over the past few years, I have met so many people who have been pushed out, cast out, thrown out of church by people whose understanding of God's love is too small. So many people out there who've been hurt. People who want to love God, people who want to love Jesus, people who want to love the church, but they have been so wounded by the church, they're not sure they can ever go back. I've met so many people who've been told they're not welcome because they're unforgivable, too broken, too sinful. And believe me, I want to say I'm not just talking, as some of you might suspect, about people who are gay or lesbian or queer or trans. No, I'm talking about all kinds of people who've been uninvited for so many different reasons. For something they have done or said or believe about God, which doesn't fit with what they've been told to do or to say or to believe. So many people who have been told in so many ways, God does not welcome you. And that's why I am thankful, because of you. Because of you who have heard God speak a different story, because of you who are willing to tell that different story, willing to celebrate that different story, willing to say all are welcome and valued, no exceptions. Friends, this is the good news for me this day. God welcomes us all with forgiving, renewing, transforming love that invites us, that is leading us, that is shaping us into who God wants us to be, and that you, the people of God in this place, are like the one man in the story who was not only healed, but also made well. Who returned to live thankfully, to live like Jesus, overflowing with thanks and hope and grace and love for the world. Thanks be to God for being the people of Jesus. Amen.